Ghosts are everywhere.
Ratatatata.
Ratatakakakakaka. Hey, hi, ho. Don't mind us. We're just doing our vocal warm-ups.
Yes, yes.
The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips.
Ready now. We're here. Our voices are ready. Can you tell?
Yep.
We're so clear.
Me. Ready.
It's a good thing we didn't record last week because my voice was not ready.
Oh, baby.
I also,
not going to lie, my voice was not ready.
No. I was sick all last week, and I was, like, trying to work and bring food and things to people and, like, ask them questions in a loud restaurant, and it was tough because my voice could only go so loud, and I also couldn't really hear properly, so, it was not great.
Wow, that sounds like a menace.
So sometimes I thought I was yelling, and I was just like, and people would be like,
"What?" You
would have
no clue.
Sorry, what are you saying?
My voice was really tired because for 3 days back to back to back, I workshopped my solo show in Toronto.
All right, Carly B solo doing shit. All right.
Yeah, for the Hamilton Fringe coming up at the end of July, and I was tired at the end of the day. By the way, I'm Carly.
Oh, I'm Cecilia.
And that's Cecilia. And we are ghosts are everywhere.
As you can tell by our crystal clear voices, that sound perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Like ghosts, we have crystal clear voices.
Yes, just like ghosts. Notoriously crystal clear.
Notoriously crystal clear. Exactly.
Absolutely. I'm here. I'm drinking a gin smash that I found in the fridge, like I told Carly. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
It's best served on the rocks.
On the, it literally says on the
That's
can.
What it That's says on the can. Best served on the rocks. It's summertime in the city, and we're drinking gin smashes.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. We're drinking gin smashes. We're doing solo shows at the Fringe. And by we, I mean Carly. Cool.
That's right. Celia likes to involve herself, so we'll let her do that.
I like
she can say we.
To be included, even though I'm not a part of it at all. I'm just kind of around. I'm included in that I know about it.
You're included in that you are nearby it.
I'm close. I am here. Yeah. I know about it. I am ready to see it.
Yeah, you're an ally. You're an advocate.
I am an ally. This Pride Month, I would like everyone to know.
And this Pride Month, she's partnering with Afterlife Theater to bring you Meatless Loaf, Carly's one-woman show.
Happy Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride. Happy Indigenous Peoples Month.
Yeah.
Happy. It's June, baby. As George Costanza says, it's June.
They're just like, let's throw everybody in there.
I know. Let's celebrate everyone.
Let's celebrate
Why
everybody
not?
Because it's June. It's Gemini season. Mm. It's my sister's
That's
birthday.
Right.
It's Kate's birthday.
I know. The day we're recording is Happy Birthday, Kate.
Happy Birthday, Kate.
We love Kate. Pal of the pod, sister of yours.
Yeah.
Favorite O'Grady of mine. We love Kate. We're big Kate fans.
Happy Birthday, Kate.
Happy Birthday, Kate.
It's Gemini season, and we're ready to talk about ghosts.
Party, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
I think so. It's definitely ghost season, but for us, every season is ghost season.
Of course.
If we want to be honest.
It's spooky season.
It's always spooky season if you believe it's spooky season. Mm-hmm. So, we do, and it is.
We do, and it is.
And that's right. That's what we're doing here, as we do every week, because that's how we do.
Because
that's
here.
That's the only way we know how to do.
Here be ghosts.
Because, as our tagline says, here be ghosts.
That's our new tagline.
Yeah. Of course. It's always been our tagline, I'm pretty sure.
Carly, do we we have new merch, yeah?
Hey, baby! Oh, we have hinted at this merch for some time. Because it has been in the works for some time.
So much time that I forgot about it.
So much time that I sent a picture to Cecilia. She said, oh my god, I forgot those existed.
Uh-huh.
We are very excited to bring you our very own drumroll, please. Ghosts are everywhere. Enamel mugs.
Ooh, baby. Perfect for camping.
That's right. They're really special. They're handmade, like hand dipped, like, you know, like the real deal enamel, made in the Ukraine by an incredible artist, mm-hmm. who we very much appreciate all of her hard work. Mm-hmm. Who will link when we where we sell them, so that if you want your own custom enamel mugs, you can find her.
You can support her.
Yeah, and it's so cool, and they're so exciting.
Very cute little mug.
They're not like the shitty like metal fake enamel ones. They're like solid real enamel. All right. They're like the legit.
Okay.
So we're really really excited. They're handmade in the Ukraine, and we ordered them before all of the. We know what's going on in the Ukraine. We ordered them before all that happened, but it's amazing that they have arrived and we're so excited. We're so excited.
Yeah, so we'll post about that on Instagram, how you can get one of those.
So you gotta follow us then, baby. Mm-hmm. At Ghosts Are Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Pod. Follow us. And you'll see all the goodness.
Yes.
And maybe, just maybe, we'll plan a Ghosts Are Everywhere camping trip. Oh! I don't know.
Oh, yo, that'd be events? So cute.
I don't know. We've mentioned it before. I don't know.
Probably just for our friends.
I don't know. Well, any interested parties?
I don't know. We don't know.
I don't know. We don't know. We won't know until we know.
We just don't know.
Let us know if that's something you'd be interested in.
They are perfect for
don't
like,
be weird about it.
Camping. You can tell your scary stories around the campfire with your little mug.
Yeah. Ghosts Are Everywhere camping trip.
Spooky.
We'll see. Possibility. The world is our, Cecilia, get this. The world is our oyster. Okay? Just putting that out there.
Get this. I get that.
Get this. And guess what?
I get that.
That may or may not pertain to my story today.
Ooh. Ooh. Are you talking about oysters?
I don't know. We'll see. Ghost I'm not oysters? Starting, so we'll have to find out.
I'm starting.
Okay. That's right.
We're doing a little...
Leave you with that little cliffhanger.
We're doing a little choose-your-own situation this week.
Classic us.
Mm-hmm.
Classic us.
And do we remember 2 episodes ago when I did Farnham Mansion in Oneida?
I do remember that.
So while I was doing research for Farnham Mansion, I kept coming across this other haunted house in America...
What?
Farnham Manor. And they're
oh my God.
Two different places.
Okay, not to be
States.
Confused with Farnham
not
Mansion.
Not to be confused with Farnham Mansion in Oneida, New York. This is Farnham Manor in Ohio. So
amazing.
I'm going to do that today.
Oh, yeah, baby. Give it to
We're
us.
We're doing back-to-back Farnhams. Sort of located. In,
back-to-back choose-your-own Farnhams.
Choose-your-own Farnhams located not too far from each other. This one's in Ohio.
This series might as well just be called Choose Your Own Farnham at this point.
I know, for the last couple episodes anyway.
That's already.
I had to throw in some royals in there between, but
to break it up.
This is some not so royal stuff. This is one of those places that their research got kind of weird because it doesn't have a Wikipedia page. So
those are always the weirdest.
It's a little bit more niche. I was relying on Facebook and like small town historical societies and newspapers. So
incredible.
That was fun.
The grassroots organizations.
I went real
ghosting.
Niche, real grassroots for this one.
love it.
Real small town America. So get ready for it.
All right. I'm buckled in.
Okay. So we're going to go to Richfield, Ohio, which is 30 minutes south of Cleveland. It's like
I've been to Cleveland many times.
I probably have when I was very small. I haven't been to Cleveland that I remember.
Okay. I've been to Cleveland mostly when I was really young, but I do remember some of it.
Hoo-hoo. Did you go to the Cleveland Zoo?
I didn't.
I don't
go
know
to
what else
Cleveland
was in Cleveland.
Zoo. We went to see some baseball.
Ooh, baseball.
And we went to Cedar Point.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are the things that I remember doing in Cleveland.
Now I'm just looking up Cleveland because I don't know what's in Cleveland.
Cleveland. They got things to do in Cleveland.
Oh, they have all kinds of sports teams. Oh, they had the they have the Cleveland Guardians now.
Oh, thank good.
Yeah.
Good. I went when they weren't called the Guardians.
No, they were called something else. and then people obviously did not like it. So Cleveland is Cleveland, and I've maybe been there. Who knows? Cool. But
I mean, Cleveland's a classic. I'm sure
Cleveland's a classic.
Cleveland's, you know the saying, classic.
Classic
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Is that where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is? Isn't it somewhere
it totally
weird like
is.
That?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland.
Okay, so yeah.
I've also been there. My dad went when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. This was the coolest thing I remember about Cleveland. My dad went when I was a kid without me, and he came back and he brought me back markers, and they were in the shape of guitars.
Ooh, those sound very difficult to write with.
From the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were stupid to write with, so I never used them. So they lasted forever, but I love them. My Libra heart was like, this is amazing. Wow. I love it so much. I love to look at it. Yeah. Big fan. Classic Cleveland.
Classic Cleveland. That's what they say. So if you end up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame for any reason, if you drive 30 minutes south, exactly 30 minutes south.
Exactly. 30 minutes to the minute.
You have
to
go to 4223 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, and you will find the Farnham Manor, not to be confused with the Farnham Mansion.
Correct.
So the history of the estate, according to the Farnham Foundation website, so I got the information from their website, their Facebook page, the Richfield Times, onlyinyourstate.com, and from the Richfield Historical Society.
Ooh.
We love a local small town historical society.
We love it. Also, shout out to onlyinyourstate.com. They've saved our butts on many I must say. I've used them a lot. I know you've used them a lot. Mm-hmm. That's so great.
They're one of those
also,
websites.
Shout out to, Small Town
Historical Society. Small Town Foundations, Historical Foundations.
Yeah.
Like the Farnham Foundation, which I don't know. This is one of those stories. Also, the status of the Farnham Manor is kind of up in the air at the moment. Unfortunately, so we'll get into that a little bit.
Okay. Hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, so the Farnham Foundation, I don't think actually exists anymore.
Interesting.
They no longer own the building.
Mystery!
It's not really a mystery, but we'll get into it.
It sounds like a mystery.
But the history, a little further back. So their website says that the land was used. I'm pretty sure they say by the Indians.
I mean, it's America.
It's America. That's
like Native American.
Native Americans.
Is like a thing they say. And some people say Indian.
So digging a little bit deeper, the Richfield Historical Society said that the indigenous peoples in the area were the Wyandot and the Ottawa peoples.
Amazing.
So they were there way before any white people swept in. And there is an Indian marker tree, is what they call it. There was apparently like a trail marker that's on the estate. Oh, so I think it was kind of
neat. A
significant place, at least like trail access for people.
Yeah, they were like, you know the trail? It's by this tree.
By that tree. And it's like a very specific looking tree.
Cool.
So that's on the estate. Not sure if anyone really like lived on the land before, but eventually these people did.
Eventually. Guess what? Okay. I bet the Farnhams did.
The Farnhams absolutely did. So our first Farnham, our guy, John Farnham,
classic name.
John, yeah. He was like a war hero in the Revolutionary War. He was a special agent for George Washington.
I don't know
what that means, but good for him.
It means that he was very special.
I don't know. Maybe he was like a spy or something.
Well, a special agent makes me like think James like Bond. Absolute spy vibes. Yeah. Also, my first thought was Get Smart, which was Steve Carell and Get Smart.
Steve Carell and Get Smart.
Maybe that's not
exactly like that.
The vibe.
He's like Austin Powers.
He was Steve Carell. Austin Powers, absolutely. That's when I think spy, that's what I personally think.
I did just watch the first two Austin Powers movies back
Groovy
to back.
Baby. Groovy Baby. Oh my god.
So that's on my mind. So John Farnham, he was a special agent. He did something during the Revolutionary War. After the war, he settled down. He married Mary Everett, and he Ooh. Had 9 children eventually, which is a lot of children. But I mean,
he got busy
in Revolutionary War era, so you know.
Yeah, but also 9 is still
9
so
is
many.
A lot of children.
9 is it's not like 7 no. or 5.
It's not like
it's
8.
Nine.
It's 9.
It's not even 8.
It's 9. Why didn't they just make it like a
At least it's not 10.
Why didn't they make it a clean 10?
Well, maybe they did, but it didn't happen for them.
Yeah, that does happen.
The olden days.
The olden days. No, they had 9 children. This was obviously a time when America was like slowly expanding westward.
Right.
So even
the Western expansion,
even
if you
Ohio,
will.
Which is like very like Midwest, like pretty east,
middle of America.
This was when they were like expanding into
east.
It, getting yeah. in there. So in the early 1800s, the way that Ohio was settled, I guess, was that the Western Reserve of Connecticut was established. So they took this land from the people who were there before,
right.
and they were like, this is ours, and we're reserving it for people whose property had been damaged or who had served during the war from Connecticut.
Sure. They were like, all these Connecticut people, this is for them.
Yeah. So it's like, if you live in Connecticut and you served during the war, or if your property's all, like, fucked up from the war, you can have first access to this land. Out west.
Because they're like, look at this new land
this
that
new,
nobody fucked
beautiful
up during
land.
The war. You can have
you
it.
Can you can move there. So,
cool. I mean, not cool, obviously, but cool, we get it.
So, this is a little bit complicated, so I won't get into, like, exactly what happened. But I guess John, because he served in the war, he had access. He was able to purchase 1,200 acres of scenic park-like land. In what is now known as Furnace Run Valley in what is now Richfield, Ohio.
Cool.
So it was pretty, like, wild, untamed, I guess, kind of wilderness at the time.
It's very, like, Quebec wilderness from Maria Chatelaine, which is a very specific reference just for you.
A reference that we love to reference, even though I'm sure like
90% of our listeners
maybe people
did not read this very specific book.
I don't
in
know,
high school
like
we did.
Why the fuck do we read that book? Anyone? I don't
also
know. Do people from Quebec know that book, or is it just like the Ontario French immersion school system was like read
school
this
system.
Fucking terrible book?
Yeah, they're like, read this book, you will hate
read
it.
This book,
it's
sucks.
Horrible. She's saved by the spirit of Quebec.
Yes,
yeah,
she is saved by the spirit of Quebec. Anyway, if anyone wants to learn about Maria Chapdelaine, don't do it.
Don't
it's
do
not
it.
Not worth it.
Instead, just hey, don't read the book. Don't watch the movie. Don't engage.
Oh, yeah, there's a movie.
There's a movie. I know.
Wow.
And it's also awful.
What a time. Don't watch it. Don't do it.
Don't do it to yourself.
We
love yourself.
Canadian content, but we don't love.
We love
CanCon, honestly,
but we
a
can't.
Lot of CanCon, not good.
You can't. Hey, a lot of most content in general,
bad.
Garbage,
mm.
including this show. Mm. We should know. Mm-hmm. We are creators of CanCon. But our CanCon, which is this, is not Maria Chapdelaine. That's a whole
not.
Other level of garbaggio. At least this is entertaining, question mark?
Question mark, hopefully. Anyway, before our Maria Chapdelaine CanCon...
Tangent.
We're in the Furnace Run Valley, and
right.
in 1811, way back in Maria Chapdelaine times.
Way back in Maria Chapdelaine times.
John, Mary, and 7 of their children. I'm assuming the other two were, like, old enough to live on their own, not that they just, like, left 2, like, little babies behind. But I don't know.
No, I like to imagine that they left 2 babies behind and lived an amazing
I just don't know.
Life.
They're like, these kids are like 7 and like 4. We're just going to leave them in Connecticut. They'll go to
Yeah, they're like,
Yale.
The 7-year-old will look after the 4-year-old. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So they got there, they left Cornwall, Connecticut, and came to Ohio by horse and buggy, and got to the land, and there's nothing there, so they built themselves a log cabin.
Classic.
So the log cabin isn't there anymore, so that's not the manor that we're talking about. This is just the original house that they built on the land. According to the website, it said that they were, like, very friendly with the natives in the area. Their son, Everett, who is, like, an important person in this story, they're, like, he really, like, went in and, like, figured out nature and made friends with the Native Americans and things like that. So
that's nice.
Good for him, if that's true.
Good for him. Let's hope he was just vibing.
Maybe
in
he
the
was
forest.
Vibey. He seems like a weird guy, but, you know, maybe that was his thing.
But maybe
it totally
he was
could have
like,
been.
Maybe he was like woods weird and not like weird.
He's weird in a lot of ways, but he totally like it tracks for him to be woods weird.
Okay, like it fits in.
It fits with everything else, I think. Also, they like fit in pretty well in the area. They seem pretty like wealthy and educated. One of their sons, one of their older sons, Lehman. What's his name? Lehman. I wrote Lemon, but I'm pretty sure it's Lehman. I don't think his name was Lemon.
You mean his name wasn't Liz Lemon from 30 Rock?
One of their sons, Lemon, was elected. He was the first justice of the peace in the area in 1816. Whoa. And he was also, like, the first teacher, like, the first school teacher to teach the local children.
Yeah, he was just the guy.
So he was doing things. He was
leading the community.
That Lemon was leading.
Classic leading Lemon.
The other son, Everett, or one of the other sons, there's a lot of sons, I'm sure, Everett, he was only 12 when they made the move from Connecticut, and he, like, fit in well, he liked it, but as a young man, they sent him away to England, or I guess he sent himself away to England, something like that.
To England,
and he was like, yo, this slaps, I love manor houses and fanciness and lords and things like that.
I love the queen, probably.
I love the fucking queen. It's 18. What year is it? Is there a queen?
It's 18 what?
It's like the 1820s at this point.
I think, that's almost a queen. I think that's a king.
1820s, yeah.
Queen Victoria is on the horizon.
Or it's like the 1810s, 1820s.
It's King George. 20 to 30 is King George.
Okay, so it's probably King George. Everett's like, yo, that guy is cool.
Yo, I love the king.
I love the king. yes, king. And he came back. His dad, John, died in 1834. And Everett kind of was the one who took over the estate.
Right.
And he built this manor house for his young bride, Emily Oviatt. One of my sources said that he was, like, 25 years older than her, which also kind of tracks for, like, the 1800s.
For the time, that totally tracks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was really successful. He grew the estate to 3,200 acres. It had only been 1,200 when they moved there, so...
Dang!
You know, he spread out.
That's quite a bit.
It made him the largest landowner in the county, so...
I believe it. That's a
lot
of acres.
That's a lot of acres. What the fuck are you supposed to do with that many acres?
You don't even probably know what half of that looks like.
I think most of it is, like, forested land. I don't... Yeah. Like, I guess they maybe had a farm. Honestly, I don't know.
But still, do you think that...
You can't farm 3,200 acres.
You can't farm 3,200 acres, and you also can't, like, hike 3,200 acres on the regulars, like, to know a place that well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not like you can be like, I know every corner of my property. Corner. No, this guy has no fucking clue, probably. I don't believe it.
He and his wife, they had 5 children, and he was, like, really well-known in the area. They called him Lord Farnham. Maybe because he called himself that.
I thought you were going to say Lord Farquaad.
Lord Farquaad.
I'm 2 episodes for 2 on Lord Farnham. Lord Farnham. You're about to say Farquaad.
Yeah, so it's Lord Farquaad. Okay. He was kind of an eccentric guy. Everybody kind of knew him around town. He was pretty tough with his staff and with the locals. He really loved the land, though. his 32, all 3,200 acres of it.
He was, you know what? Maybe, I take it back. Maybe if anyone was knew every acre, maybe mm-hmm. it was this guy.
Yeah.
If he's woods weird, then maybe
he's woods weird. He likes it. So if you look it up, it's not like a huge manor house. Like, it's kind of just a house. So okay. It's Farnham Manor. You know, if you find it. Like, it's nice. It's big. But it's just kind of like a white...
it just looks like a huge farmhouse.
Yeah, it's like a big farmhouse. It's like white siding. It has a big, like, kind of fence. Or not fenced in. Like a big porch, but like a windowed porch.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, like closed porch. Mm-hmm. Has like a carport. Mm-hmm. Or a carriage port.
Carly.
You know, like one of those things.
So it's like a nice big house. It's nothing like super grandiose. It's nice.
It's just like, it looks like a big house, a big old house you'd see in the country. Just
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Anywhere.
Like if you like passed not... it, you'd be like, oh, that's like a nice house. But you wouldn't be like, oh my goodness, this is a marvelous mansion.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a manor.
Yeah, they called it a manor. It was a manor.
I would just be like, you know, the White House.
That big house. Oh,
but
it
I guess
is
get
the
confused
White House.
With DC.
There's already a White House, Carly.
Right. There can only be one. I forgot. Yeah. It's very cute, though. It's got, cute. Like, a few chimneys and stuff and lots of windows and peaks. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's very cute.
So he built that. Also, like, things were added later.
I think the porch looks like it was
the
added.
Porch was added later, yeah.
Right? Okay, good. I love knowing things and having an idea. Because I was looking at it, I was like, this porch looks like it's like a 1920s.
The porch and one of the like wings of the house were added, in like the 1920s. Sick.
Oh, I am so good at architecture.
Oh, that was what I was just going to tell you.
Because of this. Sorry. Okay. I won't step on your toes. Let's listen.
So the Farnhams, they lived on the estate for about 100 years.
Amazing.
Not sure exactly why they left, but I guess like Everett died, his wife died, the kids grew up. They were like, we don't want this house anymore. Yeah. We don't want to
take
care of it.
They're like, we don't care about this old house.
So in the 1920s, Ella Mayer, who was the widow of the Akron police chief, it's also really close to Akron. I guess it's kind of between Akron and Cleveland.
That makes sense.
So she was like, all right, my cop husband is dead. I am going to fucking party. So she bought the house. She added this porch and she added a north wing extension. And
damn, she's ready to live it up.
She partied. She so some sources say that she operated an elegant club in the building for aristocrats.
For the cast of aristocrats. For Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the Alley Cat, and friends.
Others say that it was more of, like, a speakeasy, which, like, I guess in, like, the 1920s and 30s.
It's the 20s. Makes sense.
A speakeasy. Another source says that it was a house of ill repute. So,
which I also think is great.
All right.
Okay.
Makes me think of, like, the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, a big fancy house that's, like, a house of ill repute. So, I don't know.
House of ill repute.
Exactly what Ella was up to, but she was partying.
She was vibing.
She was vibing.
She was adding to the house.
She was adding to it.
Definitely having a party or seven.
And having a great time. So, good for her.
Yeah.
There was shit going on in the 20s. The house was rocking.
Cool.
In 1948, new tenants moved in. The building was turned into a restaurant known as the Danish Smorgasbord.
Okay, sure, Danish Smorgasbord.
Danish Smorgasbord. So that was there until 1972.
Oh my god, that's a long time.
It gets a little bit more of like a wholesome family vibe. I didn't like look up Danish Smorgasbord. What is Danish food?
Danish, is it like fish and stuff?
I guess
pickled herring.
Danish smorgasbord.
Is that what they eat in Denmark? Well, they eat that in like Finland, don't they?
When I look up Danish smorgasbord, it's open face sandwiches.
Oh, yum!
A piece of buttered rye topped with commercial or handmade cold cuts, pieces of meat or fish, cheese or spread, and garnishes. All right,
delicious. Well, I think that's what a smorgasbord.
I guess is a smorgasbord
like
a
sandwich.
It's like a I did not know that.
I think it's like a sandwich spread, like a
all right
sandwich moment.
I honestly had no idea what a smorgasbord was. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I think, like,
the reason it's like a buffet, too.
It's like a buffet style. Like, yeah, it's kind of like the only other way I can kind of describe it or think of to describe it is like bagels and lox, where you just put it all out on the table and then you like make it your, you know, like, table side for yourself. I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, and it's kind of like
sandwich self-assemblage moment.
Yeah, it says it's a Swedish multiple hot and cold dishes of various foods on a table.
Denmark.
Oh, Danish smorgasbord. So that was there. A little more, like, yeah, wholesome family activities. Cool. That was until 1972.
Okay.
And then in the 90s, the Zaruba family, they purchased the house, and they were able to put a lot of work into, like, renovating and restoring it, but they didn't have enough money to keep it up. So it went into foreclosure in 2002, and they had to abandon it.
That's just sad.
So it was abandoned for a few years, and, like, no one really knew what to do with it. There were rumors of demolition because it was in pretty bad shape.
Oh, that would be so sad.
So people founded the Farnham Foundation in 2007 for the preservation of the estate and the home.
Great. Love that.
So their motto, they took it from the words of Everett Farnham, and he said that God and I are partners on this land, and I feel under great obligation to handle it right.
He's a nature guy. That's, like, kind of sweet. Yeah. He's very, like, he feels responsible to and for the land.
Yes.
Which I think is, like, really special in a white person.
Yes.
Especially of his time.
He also had to bring God into it. But I think the foundation...
You know, if that does it for him, fine.
The foundation is also, like, small town America, and judging by their website and their Facebook page, they are also kind of like, God is present here in a way that they also are very open to, like, ghosts and spooky things.
What do you mean? I'm into it. Okay, that's good. If God gets you to ghosts, I'm all in.
Yeah,
you know?
So they are God-fearing small-town Americans, but they also are like, we're gonna... This place is haunted, and we're gonna...
talk about it.
So they...
Yeah, they are.
They leased the property, and they kind of fixed it up a bit.
Cool.
Put some money into it. They operated the Farnham Manor Living History Museum.
Oh,
for a bit.
All right.
So they frequently ran events. They have a very cute website. I feel like the website was made in 2007 and then never really updated.
That's my favorite.
It's one of those where, like the Farnham Foundation website. So they had a lot of events. Oh, the Farnham Manor. It's farnhammanorinn.com.
I totally see it, and I totally get what
there
you're saying.
There is a lot
2007
of Comic Sans.
It's very. I was just gonna say the first font I'm seeing is Comic.
Yeah,
is the phrase you just gave from Everett Farnham in Comic Sans?
Yes,
which is amazing.
Yes. So they had all sorts of events, which all sound super cute. Like, they have maps of the museum. There's, like, a lodge. There's other houses and buildings on the estate as well. They ran events, including spirit events. They had paranormal investigations, lantern ghost tours throughout October. They had Halloween experiences. Also, one of the events on their page is they called the world's largest ghost hunt, which they had in 2017. So...
Oh, we missed it!
And we missed out. It. Honestly,
it predates
so much.
This podcast, but we also just missed it for our lives.
We missed out on Farnham Manor Living History Museum because in 2019, late in 2019, the manor and the foundation was kind of in a tough place. The mortgage was delinquent. They didn't have enough money. The manor was kind of in disrepair. They didn't have enough money to keep it up as well. So they needed to sell it. And then in 2020, it was purchased by developer Sam Petros. There's a 2020 article that says, where he seems to be like, yeah, we really want to restore it back to what it originally was, renovate it. But he also didn't want to renovate it to make it into like a museum or for like public access or anything like that.
Oh.
It was very much a developer being like, we want to lease it out as like office space or like a venue, a winery, something like that. It hasn't been, I guess because of COVID and everything, they haven't completed it. There's no new tenants or anything. There's a bunch of drama involved. I feel like money was maybe mismanaged with the foundation somewhere.
Oh, no. Not the foundation.
If you look at the Farnham Foundation Facebook page, whoever runs the page is, like, so pissed. There are very few posts, but there was a post from May of this year of, like, photos of the house and it looks like they, like, built another house, like, right beside it, which is very odd.
Weird.
It said that they were, like, using the land to build, like, other buildings, like, other condos or something as well.
Sure.
Which is weird. But they also, he was very upset on this Facebook post because they tore down the old carriage house, which was, like, 150 years old. Very upset about this.
So I'm upset about that, and I haven't seen this carriage house.
I don't know about this developer. I don't trust him.
Honestly, if anything we've learned through our lives and through this podcast is we don't often trust developers.
Mm-mm.
Because guess what? It's their job to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not here for any other reason than to develop.
No.
What's here?
So
which usually means take everything back to nothing and build something shitty.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's kind of shitty. It's going to be something shitty. I guess they'll be able to fix up the house, which is nice, but it sounds like not really keeping much of the integrity of the estate.
I'm so gutted, much like the house will be this developer.
Yeah, possibly. You don't know. Unfortunately, the museum is closed. You can't go on any, like, of these cute events or ghost tours or anything, because they would have they would have, like, concerts and stuff too, and, like, speakers come and, like, because they had all this land and it was, like, a really cute sort of event space, which unfortunately they were unable to keep around. So people seem upset about it. The foundation still exists as a Facebook page, but it's mostly just posting these, like, complaints and also, like, pictures of renovations that are done right of, like, old houses. So there's a little drama.
Total drama.
I don't know. They had, like, it looks like they had really cute events, but also their website's so bad. It says pervious happenings. Orb Gallery. I didn't notice this. There is a, if you go on their website, and if you go to previous spirit events, which I'm assuming is spirit events, if you go all the way to the bottom, if you go all the way to the bottom, there's an orb gallery, and there's just a page with a whole bunch of pictures, and they all have orbs or, like, lights in it. Oh, these are super cute.
Baby.
So there are pictures also of the interior of the house, and just of people exploring.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
There's a decent amount of photos. They're very funny. But also, orbs.
Orbs.
So I would definitely recommend going to farnhammanorinn.com and sort of checking out what they have on here. Because they do, if you are interested in the Adobe Flash Player is no longer supported.
oh, no.
If you are interested in seeing more of the ghostly things, the website has a little bit more. And just so many different fonts and font colors. Oh, my goodness. It's great. It, yeah, clearly hasn't been updated ever. So, what did I... Oh, ghosts!
Ghost,
what ghosts
baby.
Do we have here? Apparently there is maybe a roaring 20s flapper woman or multiples from the 1920s when this was a party house, which would be fun.
Ooh, that would be really fun.
The owner of the Danish smorgasbord apparently died in the house, so maybe he's still around.
Whoa!
But most of the paranormal investigations and the ghost tours and the sort of information on the foundation website, they focus on the spirits of Everett and of Emily and John as well. Mostly Everett, who was like really tied to the property, tied to the home. He built it. One of the sources that I was looking at said that Everett, when he died, said that he would come back as a raven so that he could soar Whoa. Over his property and continue to oversee it. So obviously there's a lot of ravens kind of around the property. So some say that if there are ravens nesting at the house, they are Everett and Emily remaining in their home and sort of overseeing it.
Aw, that's really sweet, actually.
Mm-hmm. They're birds. They're hanging out.
They're just a couple of birds being birds.
Just birds being birds. I would love to, when I die, come back as a bird and just hang out.
Wouldn't that be so vibey?
That'd be cool.
Just to be like a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Just flittering about, mm-hmm. sitting in a tree.
Tweet.
That's cute. I would like to be a bird as well.
If I'm a bird, you're a bird.
Oh. True.
I don't like that movie.
That movie is
sorry.
Is a lot.
People have also felt their presence in the house. One of the posts from the Facebook page was talking about how their spirits still remained at the house. But they say that, quote, "It is evident that the Farnham Manor is not a creepy, evil, haunted house. There is nothing to be afraid of. They're just people. It's a spiritually uplifting place that has a message to share, the message of love. Death and time are just an illusion if you believe in everlasting life and the other side."
That's so sweet. Yeah. I'm going to cry. Oh, it really is like this wholesome old house that like is loved and is cool and creepy only because it's old and cute.
Yeah. So, no spooky ghosts here, just kind of nice.
Just sweet ghosts.
Sweet ghosts.
We love sweet ghosts.
It.
They always count, like, they counterbalance the spooky ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So that's Farnham Manor in Ohio, not to be confused with Farnham Mansion in New York.
Yeah. Or included.
Not to be included with,
not to be confused with.
Separate episodes.
It's its own thing.
Don't mix it up.
Oh, I love that decision. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
And I really wish that the foundation was still around because it sounds really cute and it sounds like one of those places that would be like really fun to visit because they would just be like so enthusiastic.
Yeah, they would like give us a private tour when we didn't ask.
I know.
Kind of vibe.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
We would love because
they seem
we want to know all the details.
Very cute.
That's really sweet. Oh, well. Best wishes to Farnham Manor.
Yeah.
I hope we get to see it someday.
Well, we might just have to drive by. We might just have to, maybe it'll be like a winery or something and we can go in and I'll treat it right.
That's right. Maybe we can party on like our.
Maybe it'll be a speakeasy again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the 20s again after
it
all.
It is the 20s. It's the roaring 20s.
Back around. So.
The 20s are back,
Fingers
baby.
Crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed. Well, you were Midwest vibes. I'm heading a little more east, Celia. We're heading to New England. New England vibes.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading to good old Boston. Good old Boston.
All right.
Classic.
Fenway Park.
Almost as classic as Cleveland.
Wicked smart.
Boston. We're wicked smart. It's Boston. Go Celtics, you know, Boston. Great.
Go Mark Wahlberg.
I'm Mark Wahlberg. So this place is oldly settled. We know it. We just set it up for you. Boston.
I've
New
been
England
there.
Vibes. America. And that's the only other setup for Boston.
America.
Surprise, surprise, it's a very haunted place, and one of its most haunted restaurants is a pretty cool one.
Right.
Remember how I mentioned that the world is our oyster? Well, At the center of our oyster is Boston. At the center of that of Boston is Union Oyster House.
Oysters!
Oysters! Open to dinner. Open to oysters. Open to diners since 1826, it is amongst the oldest operating restaurants in the USA.
Okay.
And it's the oldest known restaurant that has been continuously operating since being opened.
Damn.
So it's always been open since it's been open. Almost 200 years.
That's a long time for a restaurant. Damn.
Right? Through multiple pandemics. Damn. Through war, through famine, through, you know, lots of stuff.
Good for them.
Still a restaurant.
Still selling those oysters.
Yeah, they're still shucking oysters, still slinging oysters.
Shucking oysters all over the place.
Oh, shucks. Located along the Freedom Trail, it was built prior to 1714, likely in 1704. Okay, so you might be like, what's the Freedom Trail? The Freedom Trail just means it's America. Like, all the things, you can walk along it.
It's like
it's
a historical trail. I've been there. Yeah. I know what the Freedom Trail is. I walked the Freedom Trail.
You walked it. You know
I walked that.
I'm just letting anyone else who's not American or hasn't walked the Freedom Trail get an idea of what the Freedom Trail is. Because it might sound like what it's not. But yeah. It's, yeah. And then so this building is along it, and it was built prior to 1714, likely in 1704. It was first a dress goods business, okay. And its portside location proved pretty convenient in importing fine garments and goods from Europe.
Okay.
Then, by 1771, it housed the political paper, the Massachusetts Spy, on the second floor.
The Spy.
The Spy, which was the country's first newspaper, Cecilia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it helped fuel the fire of the American Revolution. Then, in 1775, the building became a headquarters for the Federal Army.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause war. Ebenezer Hancock, who is the younger brother of the signature guy from the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, John Hancock.
Because I saw the last one and I said, is he related to the guy? He is. He's related to the one, the only.
He knows the guy? Hancock.
He knows the guy. He's his younger brother.
Wow. He really knows the
and,
guy.
And his name's Ebenezer. He has a better name, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
But he didn't get the big signature. That's really the moment. But Ebenezer Hancock used the location to gather troops and give them their payments.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the dining room where soldiers like George Washington received their payments.
I talked about George Washington. Wow.
I know.
America.
Connections through
lines. Wow, we have a theme. It's actually...
colonialism.
Colonialism. It's actually early America.
In the early days.
Early America.
George Washington himself.
Oh, damn. This place is, like, right yeah. Downtown Boston.
It's right down there.
It's, yeah, like, by the market.
Yeah.
Like, the Boston Market.
It totally is.
What's it called? The Quincy Market? Quincy Market.
Yeah, Quincy Market. It also became a wartime hangout for the wives of many notable leaders. Because, again, as you just mentioned, very central,
mm-hmm.
Very much, you know, a place to gather.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the women would use the building to repair uniforms for the troops as well. So it was kind of, at that time, a place of many things.
Mm, like in Dickinson.
It's very much Dickinson. It's very much when she gives the guy her scarf hidden in the, you know, not to spoil anything, but it's very Dickinson.
Very
absolutely.
Dickinson.
Yeah, this is Massachusetts, after all. It's very Dickinson.
Our favorite show that no one has watched.
Our favorite show that everyone should watch that next to nobody has watched.
Go watch Dickinson.
It's upsetting, and now I'm going to go rewatch it because it's my favorite. It's so good.
It's really good.
And so, yeah, they'd repair the uniforms there as well. Another notable visitor to this building, as well as a temporary resident, was Louis Philippe. And Louis Philippe was the future king of France.
Woohoo, French.
He moved to the second floor after being exiled from his country of France in 1776.
1776, big year.
1776, it's a year. You know it. I know it. It's a musical. We get it. Mr. Feeney's in it. In the movie version, it's great. And Louis Philippe, to make ends meet, decided to teach French to local Boston women.
Okay.
And he would do so Sexy. From his little second floor apartment. It's hot. It's been hot. Especially because he eventually became the king of France in 1830.
Imagine like a Boston, I'm sure it was like Boston society lady.
It was, yeah, society lady. Like,
oh,
sure.
Well, I was taught French by the king of France.
The king of France.
Oh, don't you know
Louis Bonjour. Philippe? Oh, sorry. Sometimes I forget. I just came from my French lesson with
the future king.
The future king of France.
Oh, bonjour.
Oh, bonjour. Merci beaucoup. Oh, sorry. Forgot.
Oh, I just came. It just slipped out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that in French? I didn't realize.
Those are my sexy French lessons.
Why do they always write bilingual people that way? Bilingual people are not absolutely you accidentally not like that.
Like, oh, bonjour.
Yeah, they're never going to start speaking to you in a language you don't know. They're going to forget words in the language they're speaking
in. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's regular. But nobody's ever going to start speaking a language to you that's not the language they're meeting to. That makes no sense.
They just accidentally.
Okay. Here's a bilingual writing lesson from us. And not in how to write better in two languages, but in how to write bilingual characters. Mm-hmm. The end.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. We know it's going to come in handy for your next screenplay.
Yes, we know. We know you all have screenplays.
You have screenplays with many bilingual characters. We know it, so you're welcome. Mm-hmm. As two bilingual folks ourselves, let's we'll help you. Just kidding. Our French is garbage.
Bonjour
tout le monde. Then back to our oysters. Then on August 3rd, 1826, the Atwood and Bacon Oyster House opened its doors.
Bacon Oyster House?
It's Atwood and Bacon Oyster House was the original name.
Like Kevin Bacon, not like Bacon
Bits? I hope it's Kevin Bacon, but I don't think it was as in the food bacon. I think it's like, as in Kevin
like
Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, not like
name.
Bacon Bits.
Yeah, totally. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. The restaurant served as a local oyster bar that would go on to draw in quite the crowd of celebrities. Over the years, the Union Oyster House, which is what it's called now, has played host to many notable guests like Bill Clinton and FDR. Even celebrities like Robin Williams and Steven Spielberg have shared in the establishment's fresh-caught seafood and coastal cuisine.
Wow.
I know. They got everybody. Four famous men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's
four famous men. Nope, that's the only one.
Yeah. Oh, that's it, though. Actually, you want a fifth? Because maybe its most famous guest, and coincidentally one that has supposedly never left, is... John F. Kennedy.
Oh, so close.
So close. So close. JFK.
All right,
so
JFK.
JFK's favorite booth, Boston. Table 18, bears a plaque to honor him to this day.
Okay.
Located upstairs, it's nicknamed the Kennedy Booth, and it pays tribute to the former president who loved its more private location.
Ooh, sexy.
I wonder
All right,
why.
JFK. Yo, their food looks JFK. Good.
Yeah, it looks really good, actually. So, the president's ghost has reportedly been seen in the dining rooms of the restaurant, overlooking oyster-loving diners. Mm-hmm. But the weirder place he's been spotted is in the bathroom.
Ooh, sexy.
Which is really weird. Visitors have looked up from washing their hands and shockingly caught a glimpse of the popular president hottie in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But some folks don't buy the presidential haunting. It's kind of one of those things that are like, it's not real by, like, ghost folks in the area.
The ghost folks.
Because according to GhostCityTours.com, Jackie Boy, they kind of dismiss Jackie Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that's not the only ghostly guy haunting the halls of Oyster House.
So they say that Jackie's not there?
They're saying Jackie's bullshit, but here's three real ghosts.
Okay. Also, looking at these pictures, I just wanted to let you know that I really want clam chowder, and I really want calamari, and I really want a lobster roll.
Calamari, lobster roll.
So,
I am John F. Kennedy, and I approve this message.
That's my order when we go to the Union Oyster House. I'm going to get those three things. I don't want oysters. They look weird. I want.
Oysters are, I'll said it once, I'll say it again. Oysters are the boogers of the sea, y'all. Like,
I want calamari.
No shade to them, but like, they're the boogers of the sea.
And
okay?
I want a clam chowder. Clam chowder.
They're ugly. They're slimy. They're the boogers of the
you
sea.
You know what's good? Clam chowder.
Chowder.
Chowder. You know what's good? Fucking lobster rolls. Oh my God.
People love them.
Goddamn. I love them.
People love them. Well, I say you have never had a lobster roll until you've had one on Prince Edward Island.
I've had one in Halifax. That's close enough.
No.
I've had some clam chowder in Boston.
To be honest, I've never had a lobster roll, so that's why. I'm a vegetarian. Ugh.
I also had lobster bisque when I was in Boston, and it tastes like sauce. Like, it...
You need to put it on something?
I think you need to, like, I don't know. I didn't want it. I like a good clam chowder.
Not its own thing?
I want a chowder.
Chowder.
A chowder. I want some shrimp.
Chowder's a classic. So, and I got a lot of my information, as I alluded to, from Ghost City Tours. GhostCityTours.com, Wikipedia, NightlySpirits.com, and CBCNews.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the other ghosts that's not JFK is a guy I mentioned earlier, Ebenezer Hancock.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge himself, with his long hat and everything, and his nightgown. Apparently, several delivery crews have witnessed a man dressed in colonial garb hunched over a desk in the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, multiple times. And so, finally, a manager named Sue. Sue!
Dickinson.
Dickinson! finally, a manager. I'm all scared.
We love to reference
now.
Things that no one has seen or read.
And also has no, like, bearing on the story at all. In any way, shape, or
Not
form.
Not important.
Great.
At all. Anyway, keep going.
Sue by any other name.
What's
okay.
Sue up to?
And finally, a manager named Sue determined it was Ebenezer Hancock, continuing to fulfill his job as Army paymaster even in death.
All right.
So she was like, oh, that guy? He's definitely Ebenezer Hancock.
That's the worst when people are still doing their jobs, but they're dead.
Right? Ghost jobs.
Ghost
it's
jobs.
It's my biggest fear.
I don't want to have
like,
to do my job.
People are scared of falling to their death. I'm scared of having a job after I'm dead.
I don't want to have to do my job when I die. I don't want to have to do my job now.
And now, you think I want to be retired now. You think I want to be unretired in death?
No.
Absolutely fucking not.
No.
Oh, yeah, my biggest fear. Among the other entities said to haunt the centuries-old restaurant is a young woman dressed in expensive 19th-century clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Celia, is believed to be one of Louis Philippe's French students.
Ooh, students.
Okay.
Oh,
these fancy boss ladies.
And she was so into being
so
a student
that
she's still there?
So while he was forced into exile for 2 decades, Louis Philippe taught these women, and he used to teach them in this place called the Heritage Room. That's what it's called now. And in the Heritage Room, a ghost of an impeccably dressed woman is often seen staring out the window.
The lady who was having sexy times with the future king of France?
I mean, probably. Hopefully. One can hope, you know?
I mean, she's haunting the place. Clearly, like, her French lessons were pretty good.
She had those good French lessons.
She had good French lessons. She was learning French.
She was learning capital F French. She was learning how to French. That's how you.
That's
French,
our lesson to
French.
You.
That's it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So she's probably a French student, or some people are like, she's a woman looking out to sea, waiting for her sea captain love. You know, one of those.
Yeah, sure. I think so, she's a French student, and she had sexy French lessons. And
like that much better.
She was that obsessed with them.
Absolutely. She's like, hands down, hooray. And, okay, so even though it's an old-ass building... And it's like seeing things like the Boston Tea Party and the war and, you know,
the other war
and then, you know, tourists and like
the great molasses flood.
The great Let's Never Forget. Our favorite. Yes, the great molasses flood.
Never forget.
And then
my favorite,
you know,
Boston fact, more people died in the Great Molasses Flood than died in the Boston Massacre.
It's honestly the best.
I'm full of Boston
facts. Nobody ever thinks about the Great Molasses Flood as much
as
they should.
Why do people not think of the Great Molasses Flood?
Why are people not talking about, concerned with the Great Molasses Flood every day? I wake up in the morning. The first thing I'm thinking, is there molasses flooding my house? I look around, not sticky.
Mm.
Remember, I don't live in Boston. So I feel safe.
It was,
you know,
the great American tragedy.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Never
and
forget.
No one's talking about it. Never forget. That's what Never Forget's about,
hashtag
I'm sure.
Never forget. Never forgive.
Never forgive. Never forget. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, rich people just doing
can't
shit
be trusted.
That kills people with molasses. The slowest, fastest moving thing.
It moved
you'd be
fast,
shocked about.
Yo.
It was quick.
Hot molasses.
Yeah, slow as molasses.
Nobody ever
should
thinks
never
about.
Never be a thing.
UK, you think about slow as molasses in January, but what about fast as molasses in August? When did the Great Molasses
yeah,
happen?
Yeah,
summertime.
In the summertime.
Molasses is fast.
People only are talking about slow as molasses. They need to be talking about fast as molasses. There needs to be, you know, like. What's it called? The
we need to make like one of those infographics, yeah, and post it on our Instagram story.
We need to let people know.
People need
a
to
PSA.
Know.
A PSA. That's what you're saying. A PSA. A public service announcement about fast as molasses, especially since now that it's summer again.
Mm-hmm. People have to be.
You best
on
be
the
watching
lookout.
Your molasses. You know, yeah. Anyways, mm-hmm. We feel very strongly about this. Mm-hmm. It's really important to us. And this summer, that's why we're partnering.
This Pride
Big
Month.
Molasses. This Pride Month, that's why we're partnering with Big Molasses. Were you slow to come out? We were too. And
the
that's
molasses
why this
wasn't.
Pride Month. But molasses wasn't. That's why this month we're partnering with Fast Molasses. So the Union Oyster House, old, it's seen lots of things, like the molasses.
Like the molasses.
You talked about this at length, and we're glad we did.
Mm-hmm.
It's also still existing and still ongoing, so it also has a contemporary ghost.
Who?
Apparently, Sue, who is ever giving, the Union Oyster House manager,
okay,
also said that the restaurant is haunted by her former coworker.
Okay.
So, when Sue first began serving at the establishment, she worked with a chef named Henry, who then later switched positions a few years afterwards. And apparently, the night he passed away, his ghost was witnessed by the current Oyster House chef while he was wrapping up his shift. And the chef let Sue know what he had seen, and she immediately understood that to mean that her old friend had died.
Oh.
So,
because he didn't work there anymore?
He didn't work there anymore. Okay. And the chef at the time was like, hey, Henry was here. And she was like, huh? And took that to mean
mm-hmm.
Henry's gone,
mm-hmm.
which he was.
Damn.
And so to this day, when lights mysteriously flicker and electronics malfunction, the explanation at the Oyster House is, of course, hey, Henry.
Oh, it's Henry.
It's Henry.
Henry.
Good old Henry. And that's the Union Oyster House. The couple of, plus a few more ghosts.
Ghosts. Wow. So many ghosts.
So many things.
I'm hungry.
So much to do. So much to see. Oysters.
Oysters.
They're the boogers of the sea.
Never had one.
If you walk away with nothing else, know that I've had an oyster.
Mm-hmm.
It was a booger of the sea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard from you.
That's it.
People
that's
like
all
them.
I've got to say. It's my hottest take. And you know what? All the power to them. Like,
you know what?
We have lots of Eden McFadden,
mm-hmm.
pal of the pod, past guest.
Yep.
She loves oysters.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an island girl. Right? So,
mm-hmm.
Of course she does. Another person who loves oysters, loves all the delicious food in the world,
Brittany and Howard Roy, Powell the Pod, past guests, having a show this weekend in Toronto, which, Cecilia, you and I will be at. So, what a freaking party. It's at the Painted Lady, and it is going to be sickening. He's playing his new music, and, ugh, we cannot wait.
But, like, me? I'm like, eh, I've done it. I've been there. I don't need to do it again.
You also a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian.
You can eat your own boogers.
I was just going to say I can eat my own boogers if I wanted to. I don't want to.
If you wanted to, you've got boogers easily accessible to you.
Easily accessible. They're right.
They're right there.
Right between my eyes and my mouth. Wow. They're right there. Easy.
The easiest to get.
Yeah, the easiest to harvest.
Yeah.
I won't, though. Mm-mm. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
But if you wanted to.
But if I want to, I could, you know? So that's my take on oysters for sure.
Mm-hmm. We've learned so much today.
We have learned, we've loved, we've laughed, we've lived.
We have lived 1,000 lives.
We really have.
We've lived 1,000 lives. We've learned, I've drank half of a gin smash.
It's really, it's a time to be alive.
It's now dark where Carly is.
My screen went from light to dark because I never turned on a light in my room.
Yep.
It's that time of night, folks. It's that time of the episode where we check in and see if there's anything good that either of us have been watching or engaging with.
Well, I watched the first two Austin Powers movies, as I mentioned earlier.
That's right. You did mention that. Groovy Baby.
Groovy Baby. Yeah, that's my review, is Groovy Baby.
That's good.
It's pretty nice. Pretty Groovy Baby.
Is it one Groovy Baby for each or Groovy for one, Baby for the other?
I'd say one Groovy Baby for each. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's a pretty, like, stellar review.
Yeah.
It's pretty up there.
Yeah. It's nice. Two Groovy Babies.
Way, way up.
Way, way up.
Great.
Absolutely. I had a great time. It was really weird watching, I watched them back to back, and that was an odd choice, but.
That's like a condensed, like.
It was a lot, so that's the really second funny. One was kind of like, okay, this is more, we're doing it again, and now I gotta watch the third one, so I'll report back. Nice.
Please do. We'll be waiting with bated breath.
I've also been watching Gilmore Girls, my Gilmore Girls update. Spoiler alert for Gilmore Girls. Go ahead if you don't want to hear me spoil things that happen. but shit's going down. Lorelai and Luke are a thing, finally.
Yeah.
And, Rory broke up Dean's marriage.
Drama.
Things are happening.
Very dramatic. Things are totally happening.
Things are happening. Lorelai and Luke, finally. They're so cute.
Finally. I know. They're like the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. I just watched a movie that I was excited to watch, but also wary to watch because I was like, is it going to be good? I actually thought it was pretty funny. Mm. Senior Year on Netflix. It's the Rebel Wilson movie where she hits her head and goes back and wakes up in a coma and she's in her 30s and goes back to high school.
Oh, why?
Because, I don't know. Sam Richardson's in it. That's all that matters to me. I love him. There's tons of comedy people in it.
I've never heard of this movie.
It's a Netflix movie. That's why. It just came out. But it was one of the most popular...
Is Rebel Wilson, like, kind of off-putting now? She looks...
Well, she's very skinny now.
Yeah.
And people get confused when, like, fat legends become skinny. Yeah. It's like how people felt about Jonah Hill, right? Like, skinny Jonah.
Like, she looks fine. She just... I feel like her face looks really weird now.
Well, it looks like she's got a big head.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
She's just a big-headed lady, mm-hmm. I think. It has Sam Richardson, Zoe Chow, Mary Holland, mm-hmm. Justin Hartley, Chris Parnell. Like, it has everybody in it.
Yeah, all those, Alicia, like,
Silverstone
comedy people.
Is in it.
Alicia
it's tons
Silverstone.
Of people. Yeah, she shows up at one point. It's all very right. cute. It's like, it's like pays homage to, like, the early 2000s and the 90s. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was cute. I watched it with my sister. We had a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Rebel Wilson, I love her. I don't fault her for anything. She's amazing.
I don't know. I've never been a fan.
I just like her because I like any person that is you know, different in any way.
Any person that is different.
Make it big. Yeah. And be like, you know, a thing. Yeah. Like, she's funny. Her timing is funny. Yeah. Like, she's a funny girl.
I just don't think I've ever, like, seen her in anything that I was interested in, so.
Well, it's because she was mostly in Pitch Perfect, and
I hate Pitch Perfect.
That's not for you. I know.
So.
But she's the one thing in Pitch Perfect that's funny.
Yeah, so I haven't. Oh, I guess she's in Bridesmaids. She's good in Bridesmaids.
She's great in Bridesmaids. She's great. She's good in Bachelorette.
Bachelorette.
But she doesn't play a funny character in Bachelorette.
No, she's just, yeah. She's
like the straight girl.
Good in it, yeah.
She's good in it. She doesn't have a good part. Yeah.
Great in Cats. I don't know if you've heard of that one. The film Cats. Actually, no, she's terrible in Cats.
Little known.
She's awful in Cats. Her and James Corden are just really... horrifying.
Oh no, they would be. Yeah, I haven't seen it and I'm scared too.
Well, Taylor Swift is in it, so
it doesn't mean it's not enough for me.
Clearly, Dame Judi Dench is in it, so
Dame Judi Dench, I would in any other way, like for everything, I would say she can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But Cats, she's in Cats makes me sad.
She's a cat.
The only
Cats
reason she was in the movie, Cecilia, was because she was supposed to be in the original Broadway production, but had to turn it down for scheduling or something. And so basically the Andrew Lloyd Webber was like, we'll put you in it at some point. And she was in the movie.
And then she was in it. And that's great. It's a film.
No. A film! Capital F film.
It tis a film. And
yeah. Anyways, I think Rebel Wilson's hilarious. That was a good little movie. Though I also have mostly had Formula One on the brain because I'm obsessed with it now. Uh-huh. But I'm also done it, but it's still on my brain.
But it never ends. You gotta have you been ends. Like paying attention to the actual Formula winning?
Yes, Cecilia, I have. Thank you very much. I followed along with Monaco as close as I could. That's right. I have been.
That's
I've been
right.
Keeping up with the news.
You what? I don't know. You just are, like, so defensive about it.
Well, I don't want you to think that I'm a fake fan.
I know, but I asked real... I just, like, asked it I'm as, like, a genuine question. Like, have you been paying attention? You're like, yes, I have. And I have. And
thank
I
you very
do. And actually, I have been paying attention.
I'm very insecure about my new love of Formula One. Okay, Cecilia? So don't question me.
Okay, I'm not just... gatekeeping Formula One.
Gatekeep Formula One for me.
I have no interest. Or I haven't had an interest in it.
It's so fast, so furious. I'm shocked that you haven't figured it out.
I do like things that are fast and furious.
It's a bunch of hot men, mostly, driving fast cars. Very scary. Drama money.
But they're also like shitty rich boys, you know?
No, the drivers aren't. Most of them. Some of them are. But not most of them.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. To be fair, I mean, like... Has Formula One made them a lot of money now? Yeah, like any athlete. But, like, do they have rich boy energy? Not most of them. Okay. Some of them. Yeah. They're, like, endearing. Like, that's why I love Formula One, is because I've fallen in love with these drivers. Because you learn a lot about them and you watch their journeys. When you watch Drive to Survive, Formula One, it's 4 years of growth.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of these folks, you see them go from team to team or contract to contract.
Character
or like,
development.
There's the character development. Is chef's kiss. And last season, 2021, was ridiculous in the sport. So, like, by the time, like, you get to 2021 in the TV arc, you're like, you know about the sport, you get it. So then once things hit the fan, you're like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
Sounds good. Maybe one day I'll get involved.
I think you should do you. It's so fast, so furious.
It's so fast and furious.
Yeah, it's fast and furious on ice, basically. You know, like it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fast and Furious the Musical, basically.
Fast and Furious the Musical.
So you would enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So those are the things on my mind, mostly.
That's what we've been up to. Carly?
Yes, Cecilia?
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have not. Mm. Though I was animal sitting for my cousins for the past couple weeks. And on their back deck, they have like a little pergola, but uh-huh. it has... one of those like cloth coverings, but it's ripped, so it like sways in the wind. Weird.
Spooky.
So I kept seeing out the window. I kept thinking it was a person or a ghost, and it wasn't. Okay. So, at least as far as I can tell,
as far as you know.
So,
unless it was like a
as
really
far as I know, and
ghost.
As far as I'm going to convince myself it wasn't a ghost because I wouldn't have been able to sleep there at night if it was a ghost or person in the yes. backyard. So it was just a piece of fabric. Mm-hmm. But it was very scary sometimes. Yeah. Hey, Cecilia.
Mm.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No. No.
Bummer. No. Okay. Get him next time, Tiger.
I know. We'll try. We'll try. We'll just keep trying.
We'll just have to keep going.
Well, I guess we'll just have to keep going and keep making episodes until we see a ghost.
That's correct.
And then we'll stop.
We'll see. No guarantees.
No guarantees. We'll be back. We'll be back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. That's right. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
Episode. We'll probably post something about the mugs at some point.
That's right. So follow us on socials. We're going to do that soon.
Instagram at Ghost Survivor Pod. Also on TikTok at Ghost Survivor Pod.
Hell yeah.
Twitter at GIEPod. You can also shoot us a little email at ghostsareverywhere@gmail.com.
Yeah, you freaking can.
Hell yeah, baby.
Hell yeah, you can. And yeah, it's a good old time. Thanks for joining us.
And
big love to you. Hope you're safe from fast molasses in this fast molasses season we're having.
Keep an eye out just in case. Keep an eye out for fast molasses. Happy Pride Month. Keep an eye out for corporations and their pride weirdness.
That's right, because this month we're partnering with nobody. We're kidding.
No one.
We have no partners except ourselves.
But if you want to partner with us.
But if you want to partner with us for this
will
Pride
sell
season,
out.
Please. You can reach out. We'd be happy to partner.
We would love money.
Who wouldn't?
For the low, low price of our souls, we will take your money.
Yeah, well, we can talk. that's been another one of these. You love it. We love to do it for you. And that's that.
And that's that. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Carly is Frozen song. Boop, 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 boop. Is my Wi-Fi not working?